ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Obtained.
Atman
Patyava Mahasena. Anupravritevya.
Who exactly followed his path?
Who exactly followed his path?
Putrebhya.
Putrebhya.
Onto his sons. Imam.
Imam.
The sir.
The sir.
Yathadayam.
Yathadayam.
Exactly according to the inheritance.
Exactly according to the inheritance.
Vibhajya.
Vibhajya.
Divine.
Divine.
Bhukta Bhogam.
Bhukta Bhogam.
Whom he enjoyed in so many ways.
Whom he enjoyed in so many ways.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Maisim.
Maisim.
The queen.
The queen.
Mritakam Iha.
Mritakam.
Exactly like a dead body.
Exactly like a dead body.
Saha.
Saha.
With Mahavibhutim.
Mahavibhutim.
Great opulence.
Great opulence.
Apahaya.
Apahaya.
Giving up.
Giving up.
Swayam.
Swayam.
Himself.
Himself.
Nihita.
Nihita.
Perfectly taken to.
Perfectly taken to.
Nirveda.
Nirveda.
Renunciation.
Renunciation.
Vridhi.
Vridhi.
In the heart.
In the heart.
Vridhita.
Vridhita.
Accepted.
Accepted.
Hari.
Hari.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vihara.
Vihara.
Pastimes.
Pastimes.
Anubhava.
Anubhava.
In such an attitude.
In such an attitude.
Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
Of the great saint.
Of the great person.
Person.
Naradasya.
Of Saint Narada.
Of Saint Narada.
Padavin.
Padavin.
Position.
Position.
Puna.
Puna.
Again.
Again.
Eva.
Certainly.
Anusasara.
Anusasara.
Began to follow.
Began to follow.
Translation and purport by his gender is Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila
Prabhupada ki
jai.
By the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maharaj Devadatta reawakened to his senses. He divided all his earthly possessions amongst his obedient sons. He gave up everything, including his wife, with whom he had enjoyed so much sense gratification, and his great and opulent kingdom. And he completely renounced all attachment. His heart, having been cleansed, became the place of pastime for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he was able to return to the path of Krishna consciousness, spiritual life, and resume the position he had attained by the grace of the great saint Narada. Please read. By the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
By the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Maharaj Priyavrata.
Maharaj Priyavrata.
Reawakened to his senses.
Reawakened
to his senses.
He divided all his earthly possessions.
He divided all his earthly possessions
among his obedient sons.
Among his obedient sons,
he gave up everything.
He gave up everything,
including his wife.
Including his wife,
with whom he had enjoyed so much sense gratification.
With whom he
enjoyed so much sense gratification.
And his great and opulent kingdom.
And his great opulent kingdom.
And he completely renounced.
And he completely renounced
all
attachments.
His heart having been cleansed,
his heart having been cleansed,
became a place of pastimes.
Became a place for pastimes
for the Supreme Personality of God.
By the Supreme Personality
of Godhead.
Thus he was able to.
Thus he was able to
return to the path of Krishna consciousness.
Return to the path of Krishna consciousness.
Spiritual life.
Spiritual life.
And resume the position.
And resume the position.
He had attained by the grace of the great saint.
He had attained by the grace.
As enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shastra, Cheto Darpana Mahajan Bhava Mahadhavani Nirvapana, as soon as one's heart is cleansed, the blazing fire of material existence is immediately extinguished. Our hearts are meant for the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that one should be fully Krishna consciousness, thinking of Krishna, as he himself advises, Manmana Bhava Manpakto Madhyajima Namaskuru. This should be our only business. One whose heart is not clean cannot think of the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord. But if one can once again place the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his heart, he very easily becomes qualified to renounce material attachment. Mayavadi philosophers, yogis and nannies try to give up this material world simply by saying Brahma Satyam Jagam Mithya. This world is false. There is no use of it. Let us take to Brahma. Such theoretical knowledge will not help us. If we believe that Brahman is the real truth. We have to place within our hearts the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, as Amrish Maharaj did, Sarva Mana Krishna Padarvandar. One has to fix the lotus feet of the Lord within his heart. Then he gets the strength to be free from the material entanglement. Maharaj Priyavrata was able to give up his opulent kingdom, and he also gave up the association of his beautiful wife as if she were a dead body. However beautiful one's wife and however attractive her bodily features, one is no longer interested in her when her body is dead. We praise a beautiful woman for her body, but that same body, when bereft of spiritual soul, is no longer interesting to any lusty man. Maharaj Priyavrata was so strong by the grace of the Lord that even though his beautiful wife was alive, he could give up her association, exactly like one who is forced to give up the association of a dead wife. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadishi kamne mama janam janameshwara bhavata bhakti ahit kita. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire a beautiful woman, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want to cause this devotional service birth after birth. For one who desires to advance in spiritual life, attachment to material opulence and attachment to beautiful wife are two great impediments. For one who desires to advance in spiritual life, attachment to material opulence and attachment to beautiful wife are two great impediments. Such attachments are condemned even more than suicide. Therefore, anyone desiring to cross beyond the material nescience must, by the grace of Krishna, be freed from attachment to money and to woman and money. When Maharaj Priyavrata became completely free from this attachment, he could again peacefully follow the principles instructed by the great sage Narada.
gone for meditation and there was no one to rule. So
Someone who is insisting Manasriyavata rule the kingdom. And at that moment when Narabhumi and Swayambhumanu are present in front of Manasriyavata, and Manasriyavata is reluctant to get back into the material life, Lord Brahma appears on the swan and instructs that how everyone is bound to follow the orders of the Lord, and inspires Manasriyavata to take up the kingdom. Rule the kingdom. And at that point, Maharaj Priyavata agrees without reluctance to start to begin the Grahastha life. And he enters, he rules the kingdom. It is mentioned that he rules for how many years? Anyone knows?
11
Arbudas. 11 Arbudas. One Arbuda is 100 million years. So 11 Arbudas is 110 million years, something like that. 1100 million years. Right. So 1100 million years he rules the kingdom. So which is a very long time, especially compared to the earthly time. So he's ruling for such a long time, and in that he had two wives and he had many sons and one daughter. So it's mentioned how after such a long time of enjoyment with his wives, he comes to the realization that he should renounce. And while he's ruling the kingdom, he's performing many Herculean tasks, like is running at the speed of the sun around the globe, because he did not like half of the being deprived half of the time without the sunlight. So this is the power. And he divided the Bhumandal into 7 islands and 7 oceans. So imagine, it is mentioned his chariot had only one wheel, which used to cut the Bhumandala into 7 islands and oceans. So this is the power of Maharaj Priyavrata. So after ruling such a long life, he is coming to the realization now that I have forgotten the instructions of my spiritual master Narada Muni, and I have engaged, I have become like a monkey who is dancing like that. Instructions of my wives. So he's giving all this realization, and that's where we are today. Today's verse, how he's praying and he's giving up again the material. I'll just repeat today's verse. By the grace of the Supreme Personality of God and Maharaj Priyavrata, reawakened to his senses. It's interesting, it's mentioned, reawakened to his senses. So he's now not engaging his senses in material life, but engaging his senses in spiritual life. So that is our real Rishikesha. So that is the real use of our senses. So it's mentioned that he awakened his 2 senses. He divided all his earthly possessions among the brilliant sons. He gave up everything. So this is the point that we have to come to. We have to, at one point, give up everything. It's interesting, once one of the devotees asked Narendra Maharaj, like, I want to renounce, would Krishna help me in renouncing everything? And Narendra Maharaj said, yes, Krishna will help you doing that, but it's better you give it up yourself, because the way Krishna will do it, you might not like it. So it's better that you give up. But because everyone has to give up everything at one point in time. And it is mentioned, the more one is attached or in gratifying senses in his youth, the more difficult it will be for him to give up those sense gratification in the old age. Because his body is not suitable in the old age to enjoy the same propensity as he was in his youth. So it is better that we give up our sense gratification, sense enjoyment when we are younger. That is why it is important to go through the Brahmacharya Ashram. It is very important when we are going through the Brahmacharya Ashram or Brahmacharya Ashram, it is you are learning to control your senses. And when you have learned that in your youth, it is easy when you grow older, because you have got that training. And this is exactly what we have seen in Maharaj Priyavrata's lifetime. And many of the pastimes or devotees are mentioned in Bhagavatam, who at the young, they practice sense control. And in the old age, even though they were digressed from the path of sense control, they engaged in sense gratification, but at the end they came back to the original path and they were able to easily give up sense enjoyment. So, here it is mentioned, he gave up everything, including his wife, with whom he had enjoyed so many sense gratification, and his great and opulent kingdom. So, these are the two things Srila Prabhupada is mentioning. It's very difficult to give up. One is beautiful partner, and the other is opulent kingdom. And we are not talking about someone who has done, who has not got a job, who is not able to do anything, who is not able to get married, and that's why he has become a sadhu or sannyasi. No. Here, Maharaj Priyavrata had everything at his disposal. Like he is having a beautiful wife and he has got opulent kingdom and he is able to give this up completely. And he completely renounced all attachment. His heart having been cleansed became the place of pastime for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he was able to return to the path of Krishna consciousness, spiritual life, and visit the position he had attained by the grace of the great saint Narada. So, Srila Prabhupada makes 3 points in this purport. The first point we are going to speak about is cleansing of the heart. So, in Bhaktira Samhita Sindhu, it is mentioned, how can happiness of bhakti arise in the heart when the witch of desire for enjoyment and liberation remains there? So, as long as we have got, and Bhaktira Samhita Sindhu is mentioning, it's a witch, it's a anatta that resides within the heart for sense gratification and liberation. How can the happiness of bhakti arise in the heart? And Srila Prabhupada in the purport is mentioning Chaitanya Paramahansa and Bhava Mahadhamma Nirvana. What has the potential, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying as long as the heart is not cleansed, as soon as one's heart is cleansed, the blazing fire of material existence is immediately extinguished. So, and Prabhupada is saying, this means that one should be fully Krishna consciousness, thinking of Krishna. So, how is it possible that we can be fully Krishna consciousness, always thinking about Krishna? In Padma Purana it is mentioned that one should always remember Vishnu and never forget Him. All intentions and prohibitions are based on these two principles. So only these two principles are important. One should always remember Krishna and never forget Him. Then whatever we do, anubhulis sankalpa pratikulisa vajjana. So whatever activities we do, whatever we accept and whatever we reject, has to support these two principles that we are always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Him. And that's why the Bhakti Samhita also mentions the definition of Uttama Bhakti. Anya Abhilashita Sunya Nana Karma Anavita Manukulana Krishna Shilana Bhakti Uttama. And so one's bhakti or one should give up all the desires of fruity activities and philosophical speculation. And that is the definition of pure devotion or pure bhakti. And so how is it possible that one can come to this position? Because unless Prabhupada is making this point, that unless one's heart is completely clean, Krishna's pastime cannot manifest in the heart. And we see, we have been practicing devotional service for many, many years. So the question may arise, and it is mentioned in Sastra, it is mentioned, one name of Krishna is sufficient to purify, to remove the sinful reactions from millions of lifetimes. So how is it possible? One may ask a question, in this 15, 20 years of my chanting, I must have chanted at least few good rounds. I must have chanted at least one good round, or at least few good mantras I must have chanted. So how come I'm still not having, I'm not at a position of a Mahabharata, or how come I'm not having the pastimes of the Lord residing in my heart? How come I'm not always thinking about Krishna? So, what is the problem? So, it is mentioned again in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda Brahmite, Kono Bhagavan Ji, Guru Krishna Prasadatai, Bhakti Natai, Bij. So, what does it exactly mean, Brahmanda Brahmite? A living entity is going from topmost planet, Lord Brahma's planet, to the bottommost planet. So he is going, he's sometimes on the earthly planet he is going up, coming down based on his karmic creation, Brahmanda Brahmite. But by, if he is fortunate enough, by the mercy of Krishna, and as it is mentioned in this verse, by the mercy of grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maharaj Priyavrata was able to reawaken into his senses. So by the mercy of Krishna he gets Guru, and at the last of this purport is mentioned, by the grace of the great saint Narada. So by the mercy of Krishna he gets the living entity, he gets the association of Guru, and by the mercy of Guru he gets the mercy of Krishna. So this is both goes hand in hand. So Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagavan Guru Krishna Prasadatai Bhakti Lata Bij. Now that Bhakti Lata Bij one gets, which is, what does Bhakti Lata Bij means? The seed for the creeper of devotional service. So that is, one receives that seed for the creeper of devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Then what happens? Upajaya Bhakti Lata, and in the next verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that is mentioned, Upajaya Bhakti Lata Brahmanda Bhedi Yaya Viraja Brahma Loka Bhedi Paravyoma Paya. So that Bhakti Lata Bij, that grows, and when it grows, there are two leaves which come out of that Bhakti Lata Bij, and it keeps growing until it crosses the topmost planet in the universe, and crosses that, it is mentioned, it penetrates the coverings of the universe and goes into Brahmanda. And it keeps growing and goes into the Vaikuntha Loka, and then it reaches the Golok Vrindavan. So this Bhakti Lata Bij grows there. So how come our Bhakti Lata Bij, our creeper, our Bhakti Lata is not going and residing in the Golok Vrindavan? How come we are not able to experience that? So when that happens, one experiences the pastimes of the Lord always residing within the heart. So there are two reasons mentioned in again Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu why our Bhakti Lata is not manifesting to the point where we are always experiencing the pastimes of the Lord. So the first reason is mentioned, the nature of Bhakti is, it is Sudhurla, one of the characteristics of Bhakti. There are six characteristics mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One of them is Sudhurlabha. And what does this Sudhurlabha mean? It is very rare, it is difficult to obtain. And why is it difficult? Two reasons are given again in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Two reasons are given that if one performs Bhakti without Asakti, then we will not get the result of Bhakti. And we chant this every morning. So even though we are chanting something which is very pure, even though we are chanting something which can give us unlimited results, but because we are not doing it with asakti, we are not getting the results. And it's mentioned, even if one does perform devotional service for millions of thousands of years, he will not get the result for it because he's not performing it with asakti. And we know the definition of asakti. There are nine stages: shraddha, sarvasambha, bhajanakriya, anathana, vritti, nishtha, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema. So as until we are performing devotional service with asakti, it is not going to fructify. The bhakti is not going to fructify. Now let's understand what are, and second reason is given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is why it is Sudhurlabha. First reason is because we are not performing with asakti, and second reason is Krishna does not want to give us. Even though, and it is mentioned, not only Krishna does not want to give, even though we perform bhakti with asakti, Krishna does not give us bhakti easily. Because what happens when your creeper has reached Golok Vrindavan, or what happens when you are continuously thinking about Krishna at this stage? At that stage, Krishna, the nature of bhakti is Sri Krishna, Akarshana. Krishna becomes controlled by you, and no one likes to be controlled, right? In our daily life, we know from our own experiences, we don't like to be controlled. So of course, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wouldn't like to be controlled by anyone and everyone. So that is why, so these two reasons are, the first reason is, we are not performing with asakti. And the second reason is, Krishna, even though we perform with asakti, Krishna does not want to give us bhakti easily. So these are the two reasons mentioned. And now let's understand, why are we not performing bhakti with asakti? So it is mentioned at the end of third canto, Kapil Muni was explaining to Devahuti what is the nature of bhakti, and he explains that bhakti can be performed in three different modes. It can be performed in mode of goodness, it can be performed in mode of passion, it can be performed in mode of ignorance. And the whole fourth canto we heard about this explanation of how it can be performed in different modes. So in the mode of ignorance, what was the bhakti that we heard in fourth canto? Daksha Yajna. So Daksha performed bhakti in the mode of ignorance, even though he was performing this yajna to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he was offending Lord Shiva. So he did not understand what was the reason, what bhakti is. After bhakti, after performing bhakti, one's heart should be soft, he should be humble, rather than becoming pride. And this is one of the anathas, we will speak about that. This is one of the weeds which grow with bhakti. When one is performing bhakti in the modes, in the lower modes, there is a weed which grows. And he performs apradhas, and these weeds are, one of them is pride. So he became proud because he was performing bhakti in the mode of ignorance. And then it is explained, bhakti in the mode of passion. The bhakti in the mode of passion is what Dhruva Maharaj was performing. He was performing bhakti for something which is material. He wanted a kingdom bigger than his father. And then at the end, it is in the fourth chapter, it is explained how bhakti can be performed in the mode of goodness, as it was explained in Prithi Maharaj's pastime. So these three were mentioned. So now let's understand, why are we not getting the results? There are two things mentioned. There are apradhas and then there are anarthas that don't let us go in bhakti, and asakti does not develop. We are not even going up to the bhava and prema platform. We are just at least trying to get to asakti platform. Because it is mentioned, if you perform bhakti even at the asakti platform, we are almost there. And we will come to that end. So there are two reasons. Apradhas are mentioned and anarthas are mentioned. Anarthas are coming from our past life. And we get it from this life as well, but mainly from our past life and past habits that bring us to, let us, we perform different anarthas, apradhas, and because of our past anarthas. So, four kinds of apradhas are mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he is mentioning there is apradha towards Krishna himself. So there is nama apradha, there is seva apradha, there is Vaishnava apradha, and there is jiva apradha. So the first one, nama apradha, directly is offense to the Lord himself, Krishna. The second one, seva apradha, is to Krishna's name. And then there is Vaishnava apradha, which is to the Krishna's swarupa. And then there is jiva apradha, which is to the tattva of Krishna. So these are the four apradhas one performed. I won't go into the details of the apradhas because you have heard them so many times. The nama apradha, 10 offenses, and seva apradha, Vaishnava apradha, and jiva apradha to the living entities. And then there are four kinds of anarthas which are mentioned by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And these anarthas are very important to control, because the first one is anarthas arising from one's previous sins. And now, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we know from our previous sins, papam, what comes? Avaprakatam. We get the reactions which are not manifested. And then it manifests. So there is a prarabdhatama, and which culminates into proclivity, which is kutam, and then which again sows the seed of papam, which is bijam. And this cycle goes and one further commits sinful activities. So this anathas which are coming from previous sins are nullified at the platform of asakti. So when one reaches the platform of asakti, this anathas are nullified. Then the second one are the anathas which are arising from our previous pious activities, punyas. So one may ask, how come I have performed punya in my past life, how come I am getting anathas for that? And it is mentioned that because of our previous punyas, we are situated in a more of goodness and we get a lot of opulence and we get a lot of knowledge and one gets sense gratification. One can enjoy sense gratification in his next life. And one gets a desire for liberation. So that is again a side path to the main keeper of bhakti. So even anathas arising from punya are, so that is why it is mentioned that whether you commit sinful reactions or you do pious activities, both are equally bad. So one has, and it is mentioned that one should only perform bhakti. So the first one we have was anathas from the sinful reactions, then anathas arising from pious activities. The third one is anathas arising from imperfectly performing bhakti. So even when one performs bhakti imperfectly, he gets anathas. And it is mentioned the first two, the anathas which are coming from impious and pious activities, they get nullified at the asakti level. But the third one, anathas arising from bhakti, they get nullified only when we reach the prema level. And that is what we see in the pastime of, in this temple we hear the pastime of Maharaj Bharat, Bharat Maharaj, where he was at the level of bhava, but still the anathas of his previous life made him to become attached to melody. And it is exactly the description, nice how to read that, which is exactly the same as what is mentioned in today's verse about Bharat Maharaj. So it is mentioned that, my dear king, the activities of Bharat Maharaj, Sukhdev Goswami is speaking this, my dear king, the activities of Bharat Maharaj are wonderful. He gave up everything difficult for others to give up. He gave up his kingdom, his wife and his family. His opulence was so great that even the demigods envied it. So that was the opulence of Bharat Maharaj. Even the demigods were envious of his opulence. Yet he gave it up. It was quite befitting a great personality like him to be a great devotee. He could renounce everything because he was so attracted to the beauty, opulence, reputation, knowledge, strength and renunciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Krishna is so attractive that one can give up all desirable things for his sake. Indeed, even liberation is considered insignificant for those whose mind are attracted to the loving service of the Lord. So imagine, and this is exactly what Priyavrata Maharaj is going through, right? He is at the same, Priyavrata Maharaj is none other than the incarnation of Saptarishi Avatar of the Lord. And here we are talking about Bharat Maharaj, who is not the incarnation of the Lord, but he is at the same position as Priyavrata Maharaj. He could give up everything and the kingdom which was as good as the demigods, even the demigods envied his kingdom. So it is mentioned here that he was able to give up, but he was at the bhava platform, but this one anartha which he could not give up, which is coming from the past life. Arising from imperfectly performed bhakti. And that only goes at the level of prema. So the point here is explained that if one does not rectify the anarthas, then it can go up to prema and be heard from the ashram of Bharat Maharaj. And the last one is, so the first two were anarthas arising from sin and pious activities, which gets nullified at asakti. The third one is anarthas because of improperly performed bhakti, which only goes at the platform of prema. And the last one is the anarthas arising from the offences in devotional service. So these are the anarthas because of the aparadha has been performed in devotional service. And that gets nullified at ruchi. So the apradhas we perform, and the anarthas which arise from those apradhas, when we reach the ruchi stage, it automatically gets nullified. So it is mentioned in Padma Purana that for a devotee who is, for a person who is engaged in bhakti to Vishnu, the apradhas, kutam, bijam, and prarabdhas, aparabdha, kutam, bijam, and prarabdha are destroyed step by step. So the first thing which, when we are progressing in devotional service, the first thing which goes is aparabdha karma. And then the kutam, the proclivity goes away. And then the seed goes away. And then the prarabdha, which is the manifested karmas, go up at the end. So it's interesting how it is mentioned that one can go up to level of bhava, but still can experience. And we know from the story of Sauvalyumi. Sauvalyumi was completely detached. And this is one thing we have to learn from the offenses to the devotee is the worst kind of apradha one can perform. And that, even if one has renounced everything, it will come back and bite us in our devotional service. We will fall down in our devotional service. And the example, the best example is of Sauvalyumi. He was completely renounced. He was so renounced that he did not want to interact with anyone. So he went into the bottom of the ocean and he was meditating there. And just he saw the fishes interacting, having union with each other, and he fell down. And he had a desire to marry. And so it is explained in that pastime that why did he have that desire? Because he had offended Garuda in his past. Not in his part, in the same life, but once Garuda was eating the fish and he saved the fish from Garuda and Garuda got offended. So just by offending a devotee, he had that desire arise in his heart. And this is exactly the same pastime where he went, he goes to King Mandara and asks for 50 of his daughters. And he marries 50 daughters and he enjoys for a long time. And then comes to the realization, because he was a devotee, comes to the realization at the end and again performs bhakti. So it is mentioned Jiva Goswami mentions this, like what is the remedy for the aparadhas and anarthas, and we heard all those things. So what is the remedy? And Jiva Goswami mentions that there is a need for a methodology or abhidaya and the goal, prayojana. So it is mentioned in Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami mentions this. So one needs to have a abhidaya and one needs to have a prayojana. Abhidaya is the methodology of the process and prayojana is the goal. So what is the methodology? Shift our awareness towards the absolute, sammukha. Any activity which help us shift our awareness from ourselves to Krishna, sammukha, because right now our position is we have turned away from Krishna. We are having our back towards Krishna, and that is why we are not able to see the Lord, even though Lord is present in front of us, but even then we are not able to realize the true potency of the presence of the Lord. It's because of our internal nature, bahir mukha jiva hana. So we are turned externally, we are turned away from the Lord. So the process is shifting our awareness towards the absolute being, Sammukha. That is the methodology, Abhidya. And the Pravijana refers to the experience of the absolute. That is the Pravijana. Raja Vidya Raja Vidya Pavitra Vidya Uttanam Prataksha Bhagamam Dhanam Susukam Kartamatya Avyaya Prataksha Bhagamam Dhanam. So that is the goal. The realization of the Supreme Absolute is the goal. When one experiences that realization of the Lord is the goal of our Abhidaya, which is shifting our awareness towards the Absolute. And Jiva Goswami mentions that this sentence is sufficient for an intelligent person, as much as if a beggar is told there is a gold hidden in one of the corner of his home, what will the beggar do? He immediately goes and starts digging to find the gold. He does not wait for another moment. So similarly, this sentence of turning our goal of our life is to turn our awareness to the Absolute, and the Prayojana is to experience that Absolute, is as good as telling a beggar that there is gold hidden in his house. So any intelligent person who can understand this one sentence will immediately perform bhakti. So but the problem we are having is, why is this not shifting of awareness? We have heard all the sasras, we have read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we have read Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Instruction, everything we have read. But why is that awareness not happening? Because the current civilization, right from our childhood, we are raised into the culture which we have to prove ourselves. Even in today, especially people who are going to work, every day, every week you have to prove how much you have achieved, how much you are required in the company, how much you are the center of the universe. You are Lord Brahma, your creation is so important. So this is the civilization. Every time you have to prove, every week, every day you have to prove that you are an indispensable asset to the company. So the awareness is based on self-centeredness, and it is mentioned that because of that kind of habit or anartha that we have developed, we implement that when we perform bhakti, we put that in the center. So we perform bhakti for our sense gratification, in the terms of for fame, for name. So bhakti should not be done for our own self-interest. And it is mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas saying that one should keep one worshipable deity, one's guru, one's diksha mantra, and one's japa mala secret. Many times we advertise, and this is exactly mentioned, the advertisement should not be done of one's deities, one's guru, one's diksha mantra, and one's japa mala. How many rounds I am chanting, or I am chanting most of the rounds before 7 o'clock, or even before Mangala Arati, even during my service. So this should not be done. There is a nice story behind it. There was once a queen, she was very emotional. Every morning she used to wake up early, she used to perform deity worship, she used to sing in front of the Lord, make garlands for the Lord, and she used to serve the Lord very faithfully. And the king was not so favorable, so the queen always used to insist him to do some devotional service. But whenever the queen used to insist him to do devotional service, he used to smile and go away. And one day, this was going on for a long time, and one day the queen in the morning was very happy. She ordered all the servants to cook a big feast, to decorate the whole palace, and the festival should be organized. The king was surprised, and he saw the chart. There was no festival on that day. And he was surprised, why is the queen so happy today? So he went and asked the queen, why are you so happy today? There is no festival today, right? Is there something special? And the queen said, yes, today is a most special day. Because in the night, you were chanting the names of Krishna. And the king fell onto the ground, saying, oh Krishna, my secret is revealed. So the point here is, the king was chanting, but he was chanting in such a way that nobody knew that he was performing devotional service. So our devotional service should be kept secret, as much as we don't disclose everyone how much bank balance we have, or how much our salary is, how much gold we have got in our house. So this is the most precious thing. This bhakti is the most precious thing, and it should not be disclosed. Because when you disclose this thing, you don't get the result of having these things. So it is mentioned, that is why, because when we advertise our bhakti, we don't get the, because the result of that, we already, when you perform bhakti which is advertised, we already got the result for it, which is name, fame. So Krishna first gives, as we know, the first two reasons. First is, we are not chanting with asakti. That is our problem. The second is, even though we are chanting with asakti or we are performing bhakti with asakti, Krishna does not easily give. Because the nature of bhakti is, it will easily reward three kinds of happiness. Happiness because of material desires. Material happiness. The second is happiness because of Brahman happiness. And the third is because of prema, devotional service. So Krishna will easily give the first two happiness. If you are happy with the fame and name and the pratishtha that you are getting, take this, it's easy for Krishna to give up. Even without, and it is a byproduct of bhakti. The result of advertisement is the byproduct of bhakti. Krishna does not even have it. Automatically, when a devotee starts performing devotional service, he automatically gets recognition. He automatically gets followers. And that is why it is mentioned, Nādhani Nājani, Nāsundari Kavitam, Ajagarishitāma, Nama Jandana Jandana Bhavatar Bhakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying here, Nādhani Nājani Nāsundari. It is interesting, I think Atul Krishna Prabhu was here and he mentioned once in his class that in ISKCON it is very easy to become a senior devotee. You just stick around for 5-10 years. You will automatically become a senior devotee and people will respect you, even if you are not doing much. So it's a byproduct. Pratistha, the fame, name is a byproduct of bhakti. You will automatically get it. So one should be very careful while performing devotional service, and one should not advertise this devotional service. I just covered the first point. The second point, I will quickly touch on this. The second point Srila Prabhupada is mentioning is about Mayavadis. Brahma Satyam Jalan Mithya. And Prabhupada is mentioning that Mayavadi philosophers, yogis and nanas try to give up their material world simply by saying Brahma Satyam Jalan Mithya, the world is false, there is no use of it, let us take it Brahman. So it is mentioned that in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu again it is mentioned that the happiness that one gets from Brahman, it is mentioned, it is like if happiness is compared, the happiness derived from devotional service is compared to the life of Brahma, then the happiness of Brahman is like the hoof print of a cow, the water in the hoof print of the cow. The ocean, bliss of ocean. If the happiness in bhakti is compared to the ocean, then the happiness of Brahman is compared to the water in the hoof print of a cow. So that is negligible, like compared to the happiness one receives from bhakti. And Prabhupada gives the solution for such a kind of consciousness is, as Maharaj Amrish did, Savarimana Krishna Pada Vindal. One has to fix his consciousness to the lotus feet of the Lord within his heart. The last thing Srila Prabhupada mentioned is renunciation from this material world. Every person has to give up things sooner or later. And come to, and why are we not able to renounce everything? That is because Rakshishyati Vishwaso Guptrite Varna Tatha. The six stages of the six divisions of surrender are Nukulasa Sankala Katakulasa Varjana, which we heard about previously right now. And Rakshishyati Vishwaso Guptrite Varna Tatha. Having full faith, conviction that Krishna will give me protection. So the whole process of bhakti is to come to the stage of shraddha, which is to the point that we are convinced that Krishna will give me protection in all circumstances. When we are to that point, accepting Lord as one's guardian and master, then atma-nishtha-tapanya sarvida-sanagati, we will be able to surrender to the Lord fully. Okay, I'll stop here if there are any questions or comments.
Perhaps you could be expanding on the difference between the last two types of offenses, anandas, in the sense that...
Anandas is the mind is working, but anandas is the mind.
Oh, it's gone.
But it's okay, I can
hear it. Okay,
so you said you said that the fourth and type of anandas, the third one is coming as a result of imperfectly performing devotional service. And the fourth one is anardas in the seva parada. That's what I understand.
Yeah, so...
What is the difference between them?
So the third anartha is because of arising from imperfectly performed bhakti. So in the process of bhakti, if you are not performing it properly, so that is the third one. And the fourth one is because of the aparadhas we commit while doing bhakti. So the third one is more when the bhakti lata, when the creeper is growing and there are weeds growing. We don't look after the weeds, we don't do anything about the weeds. We let the weeds grow. At that point, and these are more like the aparadha, Vaishnava aparadhas. So if we commit Vaishnava aparadha, if we commit the aparadhas, the 10 offenses which are mentioned to the holy name, then that is the third kind of offense, the third kind of aparadha, anathas. Yeah? And the fourth is basically seva aparadha. If we are performing any anarthas in our seva while doing that, those are nullified at the point of ruchi. And the third one is nullified at the, because if we are committing offenses to the holy name itself, like the Vaishnava aparadha and the 10 offenses, you know, to the guru and holy name itself, and not considering Krishna is the supreme, considering Brahma and Lord Shiva as the same platform as Krishna. So all those 10 offenses that we know, if we are committing those 10 offenses, then they are only nullified at the point of praying, depending on how serious they are.
Question is regarding to the experience. You said that the method, the process,
Abhinaya,
and Prajodhana as a experiencing the Lord. What that means?
Yes, realization. Prataksha Vahamam Dharmyam. So, the realization of the Supreme Lord is the prayojana. And the process, methodology, is to perform sadhana bhakti. To change our, the whole process of sadhana bhakti, if we know, is basically changing from Bahya Bhut to Krishna. So we are changing our awareness from ourselves to Krishna consciousness. So the methodology is changing our awareness towards the Absolute, and the prayojana is to experience the Absolute.
And
experience the Absolute is pratyaksha vadam dhanam. By process of sadhana, we realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, and this is the six stages of Sharanagati, right? Anukulasa Sankalpa Pratikulasa Bhajan. Coming to the point of Rakshishyati Vishwasa, conviction that Krishna is my real protector. It's not the Deha Pata Kalatra Vishu, Atma Sena Shasa. Yeah, we already know Krishna is the Supreme from Shastras. So that is why we are performing bhakti towards Krishna. So now that Sambandha is already, so Sambandha is more to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and I am the servant. For that relationship, we are performing abhidaya. The process is sadhana bhakti. And the prayojana is to realize Krishna, realizing and so realization is more of the practical experience than theoretical knowledge. So theory, sambandha is a theory that we already know, and that is why we are serving the Lord. But to really understand Krishna and our, and it is mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that we, by the process of this realization, we understand our sthayi bhava. And what is this sthayi bhava? Our eternal swarupa in the spiritual world by which we are serving the Lord.
And that realization of the Lord can be understood as a Krishna giving himself or us qualifying ourselves to reach that level of understanding.
Sorry, can you please repeat?
That realization of the Lord can be experienced by Krishna himself giving us
right. A
qualified soul or us qualifying ourselves
yes.
to reach that level.
Yeah, so again, from the pastime of Damodar, we know when Mother Yashoda was trying to bind Krishna, there were two fingers short, right? What were the two fingers?
Interior, personal interior.
Right, so Parishram or endeavor and mercy, Kripa. So unless those two things don't come, and it is mentioned, we can go up to Bhava on our own endeavor, but Prema is basically up to the Lord. But to get to Bhava also, we need the Guru Krishna Prasadata. So we need mercy of the Lord at every stage. That two fingers we need at every stage. Endeavor and mercy are both hand in hand. But there are instances, and it is explained nicely in again that same pastime, Nalpur and Manikriva did not do an endeavor. But they got the kripa of a devotee, Narada Muni. So it is explained that sometimes, if we are fortunate enough, we get the kripa of a pure devotee in such a way that we become liberated. So then, what endeavor, and it is explained, this question is asked, what endeavor that Nalpur and Manikriva did? That they got a mercy of witnessing the pastimes of the Lord, the childhood pastimes of the Lord, even the demigods don't get. Even Lord Shiva, when he came to Gokul, he was not allowed to see the Lord, but Manikriva and Nalpur were able to witness all the pastimes of the Lord, Balalila. So what did they do? So it is explained that they got the mercy, which is causeless. So there are exceptions. If we get the mercy of the pure yogi, that is where it is mentioned. Sometimes it is recommended that we be always in the association of the pure devotees. Because by our endeavor, by our chanting, we'll not be able to go too far. Because we don't have that prema, we don't have that nishtha. We don't have any ruchi for the Lord. So by just the mercy, and we know from all of our experiences, we know, like we are here sitting because of the mercy of the devotees who brought us to the temple. If there were no devotees who had approached us or brought us to the temple, we wouldn't be sitting here and speaking about Krishna. It is because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada who came to the West. It is because of mercy of the acharyas.
I was trying also to connect. In the beginning, you said there are two factors why we are not experiencing Krishna to the full extent. In the beginning, the first one was we are not chanting Ashakti in the Shakti. And the other aspect is that Krishna doesn't give
himself. Yes, because Krishna does not give easily himself. Because unless Krishna is sure, unless he is convinced that we really want, and our position is we want to be in both the boats. We are, one leg is in the spiritual boat and the other leg is in the material boat. We don't want to take our leg off the material boat. Even though we want to go in the spiritual, how long can we go? It's impossible to have your one leg in each of the boats and travel. So sometimes devotees are, how can I balance my material and spiritual life? The answer is, you can't. You can never balance your material and spiritual life. It's like keeping your legs in one boat each.
Two
boats. You try putting your leg in two boats. You'll not be able to, forget about sailing, immediately you will drown. You'll fall into the river. So there is no possibility of balancing your material and spiritual life. The only possibility is either you become a complete materialist, which is you are committing suicide, life, and the other is completely become spiritual. Make all your activities, material activities, spiritual. So that is the real balance actually. Even though you are working like as Maharaj Priyavrata, Maharaj Bharat, they were working like kings, but their whole consciousness, their focus was Krishna. And this is the whole point, the whole abhidhaya or the whole process is to convert your awareness towards Krishna consciousness. To always think of Krishna, and this is Krishna, Srila Prabhupada mentioned this, always think of Krishna, never forget him. Whatever we do should come to this principle, these two principles. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. So, and at one point, because of that consciousness, in whatever activities we are involved in whatever materialistic life we are involved in, it will culminate into the point where we will give it up everything. Because unless we are not of the consciousness of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him, we will not be able to give up at the end of our life, till the end of our life. Till end we will be working like in an office, in whatever our situation is. So we will not get the realization of the Lord.
At the same time, Guru, if you allow me another question, kind of question is, how I can understand this statement that is said that Krishna is more keen than us us to come back to him. And at the same time, he doesn't give himself easily.
Yeah, he is a very kind father. As a father, I want to see my son be successful. But at the same time, I don't want him to be lazy, to get everything easily. I want him to be capable enough of doing things himself. Right? So, I want my son to drive a car so that he is independent. But I don't want to give him the car without training him. I want him to go through the lessons. I want him to take certain training. What happens as soon as he's 18, I give him the keys. Okay, from today, here is your key. You have driven car in Luna Park many times. Yes, so you can take this car and go. What will happen? You'll commit an accident, which I don't want. So I want him to go through the proper training of driving a car. So similarly, Krishna also wants us. We have to understand the time we are living in this material world is fraction. And this is the training, this is like the Luna Park we are in. Or the driving school we are in. So this is the time where Krishna is giving us opportunity to rectify, to become experts, so that when we go back to spiritual world, we are not committing accidents there. So in this short period of time that we are in material world, we should perfect our practice. And Krishna gives us opportunity. If Krishna wouldn't have given us opportunity, why Melbourne in such a time we are speaking about Bhagavatam? It is the mercy of the Lord. Krishna has been so merciful that in each and every part of the world today, we can experience Krishna consciousness. So, it is the mercy of the Lord. In Kali Yuga, in such a pandemic time where people are distressed, people are mentally stressed and everything is going on, and we are sitting and discussing Bhagavatam. That is the mercy of the Lord. Okay, we'll end here. It's almost 9. Shila Prabhupada ki
Jai.
Bhagavatam ki.